We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, we haven't talked about the Olympics very much since they were postponed until 2021, but we get a chance to do that today with Sean Bormet, head coach of Michigan Wrestling. Also, a look ahead to what this college wrestling season might look like, all today on Conquering Heroes.
Welcome to your one-stop podcast for all things Michigan athletics. Updates on every team on campus and interviews with players and coaches are all on the way. This is Conquering Heroes. Here's your host, John Jansen.
Today's guest is Sean Bormet, who is the head coach of Michigan Wrestling. Sean, thanks for joining us. And is there labor on Labor Day for the Michigan Wrestling team?
Absolutely. We labor every Labor Day. We got nothing too crazy on the mats today. We got some hill sprints back in the arb. With some calisthenics and maybe some drills outside. The weather's so great. It's early in the fall for us, so we like to get the guys outside and get some conditioning in this morning.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Is that something you guys normally do, or is that just you got to get outside because of some of the restrictions of COVID?
Yeah, we typically do this early in the fall, with the weather being so great and having the arb here and just some of the hills back in there that we can run. We typically do this in the fall, but this year specifically, we have, something outdoors planned at least once a week, some form of conditioning or team activity, just because it's really one of the only opportunities we can actually get the whole team together at one time and have that kind of team dynamic and even communicate some things that we feel like is essential, to communicate to the whole team at one time. So, it's a early fall conditioner. We no matter where their conditioning levels are at, we're just getting started, but, it's an opportunity for them to build some mental fortitude and have a nice stroll in the arb.
Nice stroll. You sound like Mike Gittleson. He used to do that to us as well. A nice stroll in the arb is about exactly how he would classify it. And we did not classify it the same way. But how much do you utilize the facilities on campus? And I don't necessarily mean the facilities, but just like you mentioned, the arb. Not only is it's got some great hills, and it's beautiful this time of year. It's great to be outside, but how often do you utilize, or do you get outside of that beautiful wrestling facility that you guys have down on the South Athletic campus?
Yeah, we do quite a bit actually in the fall and even in the spring. We're a winter sport, and we get some long dark days here in the winter. So we're in our facility quite a bit once the weather starts to turn. So we utilize the arb. We do some running through campus. We utilize the football stadium quite a bit. We love doing some stadium stair workouts with the guys. So we get around campus quite a bit.
Well, that's good to know. Not a lot changes in the athletic realm of training. Do you make everybody touch every step in the big house?
You know, we vary our workouts in there. We touch every step. Sometimes we just let them get up as fast as they can. You know, we'll carry, do buddy carries up to the top. You know, we do some corner sprints around the end zones. You know, we do a lot. We do a snake workout where they go through, you know, through every step all the way around. But it, you know, for us, that's our mountain training, you know, so that's how we train the mountains is, using the big house. And yeah, you know, for our program, I mean, we've been doing this for many, many years. So it's, the guys take a lot of pride in those big house workouts and, you know, it's sort of a rite of passage with our program.
Do you ever participate with them and think, you know what, hey, I'm going to go ahead and get a workout in with these guys and show them how it's done?
Yeah, so our whole staff does it. I do it occasionally, not as much. Sometimes I'll do it after. I'll really focus on them, but I'll stick around and do some stairs after. But our younger guys, Josh Torella, Kellen Russell, you know, those guys, they run the stairs pretty regularly, and they still do a lot of hands-on training with the guys.
I have not been to many wrestling practices, but you wrestled in the early 90s. You wrestled for a long time. What's the value of, especially in wrestling, to have somebody that wrestled at your caliber to be able to demonstrate what you are expecting your guys to be able to do?
Yeah, it's essential. I mean, it's one of those sports where it's very hands-on, and you know, when you've competed at a high level, you understand the positions, you know, you understand the strategy, you know, and you can watch that stuff on film and you can break down a lot of technique and learn and study the sport. But there's a lot of intricacies within our sport and within the technique and, you know, the timing of, you know, stringing moves together. And there's a lot of parts that you can't just see. You got to feel it. You know, it's a lot of feel. There's a lot of leverage and different, you know, resistance and pressure in, pressure out. And, you know, and there's a certain conditioning level and a certain mentality that goes with it, you know, to win the big, tough matches. And, you know, having somebody, you know, hands-on with you during your career is really important. That's why we always, you know, you'll notice in our sport, I mean, you know, pretty much until you can't be on the mat with your guys, you're on the mat with your guys. I mean, even now for me, I can still do a lot of hands-on stuff with the guys. Our younger coaches, I mean, they're on the mat, you know, usually at least once, sometimes twice a day with guys in small groups. And, you know, we keep a lot of our postgraduate. We have a whole postgraduate club of guys wrestling to make world and Olympic teams. And those guys are hands-on partners with our younger guys. So, you know, the hands-on training element of our sport is just it's essential for success.
Now, we've seen a number of former Michigan student athletes come back and coach. And obviously Jim Harbaugh on the football team, Juwan Howard, there's others. But in the wrestling program, as I mentioned, you were you know, a student athlete at Michigan in the early 90s. When you came back nearly a decade ago as an assistant coach, how has Michigan changed in your opinion, not how it's changed, but just how you view it from a student athlete now as a coach?
I have a broader understanding of how special Michigan is. I knew it as a student athlete. I had an unbelievable experience here. The coaching I had, the resources, you know, the academics, you know, I mean, it was just a special, special experience, you know, for me and all my teammates. And we still, you know, we talk about that stuff to this day. You know, just the hard work you do and the experiences you have while you're a student athlete here are exceptional. You know, and as I've gotten older as an alum and now back as a coach, you know, you realize how broad that experience and that sentiment is, you know, across campus and across generations and how special that is to so many people. And when I came back here 10 years ago, the amount of like, you know, student athletes and just students that I knew in college that were back here or would come back to visit and just the conversations I would have and, you know, how special and how important this place is to all those people to this day, you know, just really, really deepened my understanding of just what an incredible place Michigan is.
Today's guest is Sean Bormet, who is the head coach for Michigan Wrestling. And Sean, take us back to last March. When COVID hit, things were shut down. You mentioned you're a winter sport. I know that it was right at the end of your season, and it seems complicated to me how you have to, with the Olympics adding that extra level of complication. We know that they've been postponed, but you had three of your athletes were taking an Olympic red shirt. That's Miles Amin, Stevon Miechich. You're probably better. You're much better at these names than I am. But Miechich.
Stevon Miechich, yep.
Yep, and then Logan Massah. Those three guys took the Olympic red shirt. You're preparing for the end of your wrestling season. Walk us through, is it as complicated as it seems now that they will be back, but the Olympics have been postponed? How do you treat those guys in this coming year? Kind of walk us through the process of what it was like and what it's been like since winter sports were canceled.
Yeah, last year was it was a big year. A lot of the decisions we had to make going into last year, they were complicated. I mean, our staff, we really studied and looked at our program closely. We had two wrestlers, Miles Amin and Stevon Miechich. In September at the World Championships, they both placed top five in the world, and they qualified places, or spots for their countries in the Olympic Games in Tokyo. So they had already qualified to compete at the Olympic Games. So it was, we already knew it was going to be a big year for them. You know, Logan Massah is the same year of eligibility as those two. We wanted to keep their eligibilities together, and Logan had an opportunity to compete throughout the year to get himself into the U.S. Olympic trials, which he did by winning the U.S. Nationals in December. So, we kind of looked closely at, what was the right thing for these individual athletes, in their careers. What was the right thing for our program, and also it was an opportunity to make a huge commitment to, in development and create opportunities for some of the other guys on our roster who could step in and compete in those spots. And at the time, that was our focus, is just trying to make the right decision, ultimately the right decision for our program, for recruiting going forward. And I felt confident we made the right decision. Then, of course, in March, we get the devastating news our NCAA championships were canceled. And that decision we made back in September, really ended up working out unbelievably well in our favor, because it preserved all three of those guys' senior year of eligibility, which obviously we didn't know going into that decision. But it sure worked out well for us and those three individuals. And then the Olympics got postponed. So now we're in a situation where we have everybody back. Everybody's enrolled in school. We're training. Some of our more veteran guys, they're doing a little different training. They're still focused a little bit on their freestyle training. There's a possibility that there might be world championships in December, which they would probably go compete in if those world championships happen. And then they'd be focused on the college season, and then after the college season, they'd start honing in on Tokyo. So. There's definitely a lot of moving parts to it, but I feel like, we've intentionally made some really good decisions along the way.
So the decision to make the Olympic red shirt last year, I think that one seems, as an outsider, an obvious one to me, because they're preparing for the Olympics. How does it change how you train them and coach them during the collegiate season this year, knowing that they have that goal and they have already qualified for the Olympics, which will happen later in the year?
Yeah, I think that the big focus is, this fall, we have, for us to have our season, most likely our season is going to be a little bit shorter this year. I mean, we're looking at probably a little later start, maybe December, maybe early January start to our season. Typically we start in November. So, given that, we have an unprecedented 4 months of fall for development and preparation, and we can do some unique things. With our guys preparing for the Olympics, obviously we're going to be focusing a lot on having them ready for the college season, but also continuing to, for them to progress on the mat with their freestyle training. Competing in our sports, competing. I mean, these guys haven't competed for a while, so, having a good college season, letting them compete, have a 2.5 month season where they get to compete at the highest level I feel it'll really help them prepare for that, that Olympic run. There's still plenty of time, after the college season, to switch back in the freestyle. Most of the wrestling in freestyle is a little bit of mat strategy, and the wrestling down on the mat is a little different, but a lot of the stuff on the feet and the way you have to compete, the mentality and the mindset you have to bring, you know, to competing at that highest level is very similar. So I actually feel like it'll be a benefit for these guys to have all those high level matches throughout the college season. So I think you know, as long as we can get that season off the ground this year, I think it'll be a win for us.
And you mentioned Amin, Micic, and Massa all, you know, did not compete last year or redshirted, giving some of those younger guys an opportunity to develop. Tell us about some of those younger guys and what you saw from them last year and the expectations for them in the coming season.
Yeah, you know, we had a very young lineup last year. I think we had some dual meets where we had, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys first time in the lineup for dual meets. We got this tremendous amount of development and experience within our team. You know, Mason Paris was his second year. He had an undefeated season all the way up to the Big Ten Finals. Lost a close match to Gable Stevenson from Minnesota. You know, he was ranked 1. Mason's ranked number 2 in the country at the time. You know, so Mason's development last year and the way he competed throughout the season was exceptional. He also had a great opportunity to continue to lead our team as a young sophomore. So, you know, he had a tremendous season. And I know, you know, not getting to wrestle at that NCAA championship's really, you know, stung. You know, but he's the kind of guy that he turns everything into motivation. He's got a great perspective. You know, disappointment turns into motivation for him. So I know he's expecting big things. And he's another guy that, you know, after a college season, he's going to be right in the running for Olympic trials. He's already qualified himself for the U.S. Olympic trials. Last summer, he was a junior world champion, which is, you know, it's a very big accomplishment in our sport to be junior world champion. So he's going to be right in the mix for making that Olympic team this spring at the trials. You know, we had some younger guys. Will Lewan, it was his first time in the lineup. You know, Jack Medley, first time in the lineup. You know, those guys did a tremendous job. A lot of development through the season. Joey Silva, you know, he was in his second season here. He saw some time in January, February, got to the Big Ten Championships. I think he got a better idea of, you know, kind of what it takes to really excel and succeed at this level and got a good taste of that. And I know he's really motivated to have another good year. You know, Cole Madden was a starting freshman for us. He just continued to improve throughout the season, got a lot of experience as a first-year starting freshman. And his brother, Drew Madden, redshirted for us, so it was an opportunity for him to redshirt. He moved up, you know, a couple weight classes, so he kind of let his body grow. So overall, it was just, you know, it was a great year of development for us.
And the Big Ten, there is no shortage of competition. Obviously, you've got Penn State, you've got Iowa. How have you seen the Big Ten just elevate itself in the decade that you've been back in Ann Arbor, just in terms of their national respect for the conference?
And traditionally, the Big Ten has always been the toughest conference, you know, and the most depth. I mean, it's just an unbelievable conference. It was like that when I was competing. I mean, we get the most NCAA qualifiers. We have, you know, the most, you know, All-Americans, NCAA finals, NCAA championships year in, year out. And, you know, it's gotten more competitive. Obviously, we've grown, you know, we're up to 14 teams. So it's grown quite a bit. But the depth in the Big Ten and just the quality of the wrestling has really, you know, has really continued to increase. And I think a big part of that also is, you know, these regional training centers and our clubs that we have alongside our college programs, a lot of, you know, us Big Ten teams, you know, we have postgraduate guys that stick around and they, you know, they train and compete to make World Olympic teams. And they are unbelievable training partners for our college wrestlers. And you know, I think that's continued to increase the level of wrestling within the Big Ten. I think the visibility of wrestling through the Big Ten, the Big Ten Network's been exceptional for our programs, you know, and it's really helped grow our fan bases. I mean, it's, you know, we've had dual meets, you know, 8,000-9,000 fans recently at Chrysler Arena. We compete on the road. Some of the venues we compete in, you know, it's really, you know, it's pretty normal to compete in front of, you know, 8,000 to 12,000 fans 5-6 times a year just in a dual meet. You know, and then our Big Ten championships has been selling out. Our NCAA championships has been selling out. And the visibility in our sport and the growth in the fan base has been exceptional. I mean, this year, unfortunately, we didn't get to have our NCAA championships, but that was slated for the Minnesota Vikings football stadium in Minneapolis. And they had already, between all the institutions and the fans, they had already pre-sold 46,000 tickets for the NCAA championships. I think the overall growth in our sport has just been exceptional.
And part of that is you mentioned the postgraduate clubs. You have one called the Cliff Keen Wrestling Club, and you've got a meet. Are you calling it a meet, or is it just a match that's coming up September 19? Tell us a little bit about that with Kale Sanderson and the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, I would say it's an event. You know, Penn State has, you know, the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. They have, I'd say they probably have the largest club in terms of number of athletes. So they have a good number of their athletes competing in basically like special matches. We have six guys that will go compete against opponents from Nittany Lion. But they also have some matches with athletes from some other clubs too. It's probably going to be, 15 matches, 12 to 15 matches that night on September 19th. It'll be live streamed on Rock at their Nittany Lion Wrestling Club account through Rockfin. And, people are really excited. I mean, there's some unbelievable matchups. There's 11, those matches feature 11 All-Americans and 8 NCAA champions just in that group. One of the highlighted matches, probably one of the feature matches is, one of our athletes, Alex Derringer, who just joined our Cliff Keen Wrestling Club this year. He's wrestling Bo Nickel, who is an Nittany Lion Wrestling Club guy, also wrestled at Penn State. Both of those guys are three-time NCAA champions, and both of them are pretty special wrestlers. So that's a really exciting match. But overall, it's a card with a lot of really fun. I think there'll be a lot of fun, high-scoring matches on there with some great competitors. So, with everything kind of being shut down, there's been some new opportunities and platforms for some of these pay-per-view streamed events, and we're excited to be a part of this one.
How has COVID, or what are some of the hoops that you have to jump through for your athletes that are members of this club to be able to compete in that event on the 19th?
Yeah, it's a lot of the standard, we do a lot of testing, our athletes, they're tested, weekly, and they'll be testing prior to, the week of this event, prior to it. Bubble protocol, we'll travel in a small group, we'll stay in a small group in the hotel. There'll be a small training room, warm-up area where it's just our group, no fans, so just kind of more of that bubble protocol, and that's been working well with our team as well here, our college team, as we've been back into training. But the other thing that I think is important, like one thing that's unique about our sport when we really think about it is, it's one athlete versus another athlete. So there's not a lot of cross exposure. There's not, a bunch of athletes on a field together at one time. If we have a 125 pounder, he might wrestle the other 125 pounder, and we can isolate that exposure to just that one-on-one athlete situation. And, the 125 pounder is never wrestling with like the heavyweight. So there's never, never a chance where those guys are going to, get any kind of exposure to each other, closely like that. So we can really kind of isolate weight classes and control the variables pretty well in our sport, even though, the actual wrestling is high contact. We can limit the amount of high contact exposures between the different weight classes. I think it's going to be a great event. And, I know that people are really excited about it. I know that when we announced that event and some of the matches, I know my phone was blown up. I mean, the wrestling community is so, hungry to see some wrestling and some high level wrestling. Everybody's excited about it.
Yeah, I know I'm excited about it. I was disappointed not to see the NCAAs last year, but as you mentioned, the Big Ten championships have been so well attended and covered by the Big Ten Network. The exposure has, I think, provided a lot of opportunity for the sport of wrestling. And before we let you go, Coach, you mentioned that your wrestlers aren't going to be cross-contaminating or sharing things because you're not crossing weight groups, but you've got a facility. And what goes into cleaning, whether it's the mats, the locker room, the workout facility, what goes into making sure that even though they're not going to be wrestling against each other, a lot of times they're using the same facility. What are you doing to keep them safe while they're in that athletic facility?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, our administration here, our medical staff has just done an unbelievable job. Our guys have been back. I mean, a good chunk of our guys have been back the last 6 weeks. You know, training in the weight room, training on the mats. You know, now we're back in school and our entire team is back. You know, and we're back. You know, we're in the weight room 3 times a week. We're on the mat 2-3 times a week. We train in small groups. You know, so we divide and kind of create small groups for our guys to train in. You know, our guys have been doing a great job wearing the masks when they're lifting weights and when they're training inside the facility. You know, when we're on the mats, we keep them in small groups. We keep them with one partner during that training session. We kind of keep them in, you know, distance in their groups because we have a really large training facility. We can probably train, you know, 60 to 70 wrestlers on our mats, but we're only training 8 at one time. So we can space them out. And then our staff actually disinfects and cleans the mats after a workout. You know, we have a cleaning crew that comes through and cleans the locker rooms and you know, in the weightlifting areas between sessions. But our guys really have been doing a good job. And, you know, they want to have a season. And they want other teams in Michigan to have a season this year. So, you know, I give our guys a lot of credit for the positivity they've shown and their effort to do everything they can to make their seasons happen this year.
Head coach, Michigan Wrestling, Sean Bormet. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
Thanks, Sean.
I want to say a couple of thanks to, obviously, to Sean Bormet for giving us some time. I know that he was off to practice as soon as he was done talking to us here on Conquering Heroes. Also, Lee Howard for the SID for Wrestling for setting this up. Brian Bush for the tireless work that he continues to do on both podcasts, In the Trenches, which will be coming out later this week, as well as here on Conquering Heroes. And he has put in a lot of time and effort, along with so many in the athletic department, for the preparation of the coming football Saturdays in Ann Arbor. If we do not get football back, we will continue with our Michigan football classics. And this weekend will be our kickoff. We will have 12 Saturdays throughout the football season, throughout the fall here, where we play some classics of Michigan football. And we are starting off with Michigan and Notre Dame in 1991, Elvis Gerbach, and a player you may remember, one of the 3 Heisman Trophy winners, Desmond Howard. We'll get a chance to take a listen back to that game. It all starts at 11:30, wherever you get your Michigan football radio broadcast. I know in Detroit it will be on 97.1, The Ticket. We look forward to bringing you some of those matchups. We'll have a pregame, a postgame, a little halftime entertainment for you as well, but we're looking forward to that. We'll talk to you next time, next week, on Conquering Heroes.
Thanks for listening to Conquering Heroes with John Jansen. Conquering Heroes is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.